Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 9th of October. Just want to remind you that we are in our very important fall membership drive. We had a great hour last hour. Thank you so much for your pledges. But I do want to tell you this, because it's only one day, that all pledges today only are going to be entered in a drawing for a pair of tickets to the sold out Prairie Home Companion Show at the Overture Center in Madison on January 26th. This isn't just the show. This is also one night at a hotel and dinner, and all in walking distance from the performance in downtown Madison. You don't have to pledge to enter, but we do hope that you will, of course. All sustainers are automatically entered, and if you can become a sustainer, you'll be entered in all of our drawings and sweepstakes. So it's a great day to pledge to a great radio station. Oh, we're so much in the thick of politics these days. I know many of you love it. It is profoundly interesting to read what people are saying about all of these issues. It's been a long, long campaign already. We've got lots of television ads. We have debates. We have more debates coming up this week. We're going to be doing a special show. I'll tell you more about this hour, a live radio broadcast on all of the races a week from tomorrow, October 17, in Milwaukee. And it's not often we get a chance to meet you, so we do invite you to come to that event. I'll tell you more about it. We'll have a couple guests with us today to talk about the latest, and it seems to be changing day by day in the political world, the presidential race and also the Senate race here in Wisconsin and other Senate races. Tom Bevin is joining us at the top of the hour, co-founder and executive editor of Real Clear Politics. For those of you who are not familiar with this site, it's an extremely valuable site. It has a collection of pieces that have been written by people from, you know, all over the place. The Wall Street Journal, I'm just looking at today's, the New York Times, Real Clear Politics, The Daily Beast, Huffington Post, Bloomberg, The New York Post, Thomas Sowell from Investors Business Daily, The Washington Post, Fox News, Financial Times. So it's a real compilation of pieces from a variety of perspectives. Plus, for those of you, and I must say that I'm one of them, who are looking at polls closely, it has an average of all of the polls, and it also has a breakdown of what the polls, various polls, have to say about the battle for the Senate, the battle for the White House, and all of that. So we're happy to have Tom with us. A little bit later this hour, we will be looking at fact-checking, and our guest will be the senior editor for projects and investigations at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and editor of the newspaper's PolitiFact Wisconsin site. All hour, you are welcome to join us with your political thoughts. There's so much going on with polling in the last couple days, or really ever since the debate last week. We'd love to hear your thoughts. 800-486-8655 is the number, 800-486-8655, for you to join our conversation with Tom. Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for being with us.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
Tom, tell me how you, because I find your site so interesting. It's great to have a place to go where you've got a variety of opinions right there, and you just click on your mouse and go to all of these places. How do you determine who you're going to include on a day-to-day basis?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, it's we actually do it the old-fashioned way. We get up very early and go out and read everything. There's no computer algorithm that selects any of our material. It's all made by editors, by our editors. And usually we have I put together the front page this morning, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you did?
You know, every day is different. It depends on what the stories of the day are as you get out and survey the landscape. And to your point, we always try and include a variety of pieces from across the political spectrum, opinion pieces, news analysis pieces, straight reporting pieces. And of course, we also like to try and include a variety of subject matter. It's not just all about the horse race. That tends to take up a lot of media oxygen at this point in time for obvious reasons. But,
right,
you know, we've got stories on the front pages today talking about, you know, not only Mitt Romney's foreign policy speech, but also the European debt crisis and a couple of other things. So, and every day is different. I always tell people it's kind of like making a stew. You know, you've got to just find the right ingredients, and it changes sort of on a day-to-day basis based on what's out there.
The selection of stories today would indicate that this race has changed rather substantially since the debate last week. If you look at just the headlines, seeking to rebound, Obama is urged to get tough from the Wall Street Journal. Romney resets Ohio campaign from the New York Times. Can Obama resist the forces of gravity from Real Clear Politics? Joe Biden ready for the fight of his life. Howard Fineman from Huffington Post. We've seen some substantial changes, these articles would indicate, since the debate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I do think the debate was, the general consensus is that it was a game changer. I mean, you look at the Pew poll, which came out last night, which shows Romney ahead by 4 points among likely voters. We have the Gallup number, which came out yesterday, showing a 3-day, they have a 7-day tracking poll, but they released 3 days yesterday, October 4th, 5th, and 6th, a post-debate sample showing the race tied among registered voters. They're going to be switching to a likely voter model today, I believe, and there are other polls coming out now showing at the state level as well, showing that the race has moved significantly, fairly significantly, in Romney's favor. Obama had been carrying about a 3.5 to 4 point lead nationally in our Real Clear Politics national average ever since his convention, but that lead is now gone, and you know, Romney is very much back in the game, and you know, has momentum as we speak, heading into this vice presidential debate on Thursday.
Tom, does this indicate, there are some of us who've been covering this, it seems like forever and ever, this debate, this race has been going on for a long period of time. It's really interesting to me that this debate was as crucial as it was. Does it indicate that people are not like us and they're just tuning into this whole presidential race 1 month before the election?
Well, there's certainly a piece of the electorate that does that, right? They are the sort of low-information voters, and despite the fact that, to your point, you and I and others have been covering this race sort of nonstop for the better part of a year, and it's been going sort of around the clock, that there are some folks that are just tuning in. There's another section, though. I mean, this was the Obama campaign's sort of big gamble, right? They spent an unprecedented amount of money in early summer to try and frame this race. Especially in, you know, these 9 or 10 swing states, they dumped over $100 million of negative ads on Mitt Romney, portraying him as sort of this you know, greedy capitalist, evil Wall Street banker type with, you know, Cayman Island accounts and Swiss bank accounts, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the messages that have been, you know, delivered to a lot of these independent voters in these swing states, and that's why, you know, this debate I think was such an important opportunity for Mitt Romney. And he took advantage of it because he was able to stand side by side on the stage with President Obama and make his case. And a lot of those voters, I think, if you look at the data, the way that he was overwhelmingly seen to have won the debate and improved his perceptions among these voters, they basically thought, wow, he doesn't look like that crazy of a, you know, an evil guy or a crazy right-wing nut. And I think that in that sense, he was able to undo a lot of the work that Obama had done via his ads early in this campaign, and so it was an important moment for Mitt Romney in that respect.
I'll bet that the Obama group is wishing that they had scheduled debate number two tonight or yesterday.
You know, it is interesting, right, to have a full 2 weeks, and it doesn't seem, even despite the unemployment number that came out on Friday, which many folks thought would help sort of snuff out the bad storyline for Obama coming out of that debate, it really... I mean, he got a little bit of a good headlines on Saturday morning, but really, this talk about the debate has, and his poor performance, and how he's now trying to regain his footing, and all of this sort of incessant analysis that's gone on, it doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. And so you do have a situation now where he will not get another bite at that apple until a week from tonight, and the pressure is now on Joe Biden to come through and sort of try and even the score. And to pick up on the opportunities that President Obama clearly missed in his debate, to hit Mitt Romney. Paul Ryan will be, you know, standing on the stage next to him. But Biden's job really is to make the case against Mitt Romney. And you know, Biden's under pressure to really come through on Thursday night.
Why do you think the story is still the debate? Why haven't we gone beyond that?
Because it was such a seminal moment, I think. Because President Obama's his performance was so shockingly bad. I mean, you know, we've been doing this for 12 years. You do these analyses. I mean, even President Bush, when he was bested by John Kerry in that first debate even the series of debates in 2000. Very rarely do you find a situation where the numbers were so overwhelmingly in one candidate's favor. I mean, usually, if Obama had even delivered one zinger, one thing, that one soundbite that his campaign could, you know, could have used to try and spin, but there was nothing there. I mean, they were reduced to saying basically that Mitt Romney won the debate, and they totally had to shift tactics and come out the next morning basically calling Mitt Romney a liar, saying that he stood, you know, he was just unrooted in fact and all these things. So they're still arguing about the debate. The Obama campaign is, in part because that's the only thing that they had that they could respond with, was to say, you know what, it wasn't that the president did so bad, it was that Mitt Romney was just such a fabulous, unmitigated liar the other night. And so that's why they're stuck in the position that they are, and we continue to talk about the debate. They continue to push it forward. They released an ad this morning, actually, talking about Mitt Romney's line from the debate about Big Bird.
Right. Willem and Colfax, hi.
Hi. I watched the debate, and I talked to some people who listened to it on the radio, and people who listened to it on the radio felt really different about it than people who watched it on television. And I think that the things that, you know, Romney was like, who is this guy? I mean, he's different than the ads, than the right wing of his party. He was trying to act like a moderate. But he said things like he was going to eliminate public television, which is a minuscule part of the budget and affects so many people, so many elderly people, so many people who can't afford cable, whose children watch PBS, who's the only like independent voice left in America in a lot of ways because of the control of how one person can own so many TV stations, like Rupert Murdoch's influence, like what happened in England, and all these things that he proposes, like the way that his energy policy according to many scientists, is just a disaster for the Earth. It really is. I mean, it's.
And yet that didn't seem to be what got traction here, that there were definitely, I think, factually, you can look at this and say there were inconsistencies with what Romney had proposed before this debate, but that doesn't seem to be the storyline. Tom?
No, and to the caller's point, I mean, you know, I had also heard from folks who listened to it on radio. The problem is that 70 million people watched it on TV, and it wasn't just a matter of substance. It was a matter of style. I mean, part of what people reacted to is that the president, he looked uncomfortable. He looked like he didn't want to be there. He was staring down at his podium. He was smirking when Romney was talking sometimes. I mean, his body language was bad. I mean, it turned people off. And so that was one of the, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, this is a president who has built a reputation for giving these great speeches. A lot of his charisma is very visual. He's got this winning smile. He's got all these things. He has this sort of star quality to him. And so it's just sort of ironic that the visual medium of television was in part what drove this terrible reaction that he had at the debate the other night. So for better or worse, that's how people, you know,
right.
That's how people
that's
consume
where we are.
These presidential debates and the president's suffering for it.
Yeah. Tom Bevin is our guest, co-founder and executive editor of Real Clear Politics. We're going to welcome more phone calls for him momentarily. Our number is 800-486-8655. Real Clear Politics has a very interesting, everyday, different listing of who's writing about politics and people that you want to read, their columns that you really want to read. Plus, they do the horse race as well, which is becoming more and more interesting the closer we get to the election, where we stand in terms of the vote for the Senate and also the battle for the White House. So we'll continue our conversation momentarily. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Rhonda Fanning, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you discussions with people like Tom, and heavens knows we have covered politics, I think, just as great as anybody can. And we do that in large part with listener contributions. Your gift of any amount right now makes a huge difference as we raise the money that we need to make these discussions possible. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, the goal was 35 pledges, and we heard from 40 listeners, including 20 new members. So to you, welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to everyone who pledged last hour. Our goal this hour is to get 50 pledges. Help us meet this goal by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The programs you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your gift.
If the Founding Fathers were alive today, and actually we try to bring them alive because we do so many shows on the Founding Fathers, including Not a Founding Father, but remember that show on John Quincy Adams? I love that show. I just love that show. We're sure that you'd be hearing from them right now, and it's true, you would. In fact, we do know that you hear from the Founding Fathers and mothers of today, and we also do history in large measure here. WPR is where you hear about the big thoughts, about the interesting sidebars, where you hear from important thinkers of the day about the issues that we're all interested in. And all of this amazing discussion is funded by you when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs, and as an added incentive, we have something extra special for you. Today only, at a pledge of any amount, you can enter to win tickets to a Prairie Home Companion when they come to Madison in January. Ask for it now when you make your pledge at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And that's a sold-out concert. So, and it also includes, you do forget this, but
hotel and dinner, that's right. Well, all within walking distance of downtown Madison, the Overture Center.
What a deal. What a night. What fun. Maybe you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because you appreciate civil discourse. I know you do. You value respect even when people disagree. You like news, talk, entertainment that appeal to your better nature. And you get all of that all the time on WPR. Support what you value. Please donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hello, everybody. It's Garrison Keillor here, hoping you'll think about becoming a sustaining member of your public radio station. Sustaining members, in case you don't know about this, people who've made the choice to support public radio with ongoing monthly payments, which help save a lot of money every year in paper and stamps and staff time. So when you join or renew today, become a sustaining member. Here's someone with all the details.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Rhonda Fanning. We're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe your gift is $50, $100, $500. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We pay for the things that are important to us. Think about what you spend money on every day, every month, and then think about Wisconsin Public Radio. When you think about it, WPR really is important too. Life just wouldn't be as good without it. Because of WPR is so important to you, invest in it. Support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, pledge any amount today and you'll be entered in that drawing for a pair of tickets to the sold-out performance of Prairie Home Companion at the Overture Center in Madison in January. Find out the details and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you appreciate WPR for the good it brings to the community. For you, having WPR available is personally important, but it's also so important to you that everyone in the state has access to in-depth news, thoughtful discussions, great music, and sometimes, yes, even some entertainment. So become a member with a contribution of any amount, and you're not only doing something good for yourself, you're also doing something good for the whole community. Give at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
There are several ways to make your pledge. Giving on the web is especially efficient. Go to WPR.org. If you're online now, you barely have to stop what you're doing. And when you pledge online, you save us the cost of sending a reminder. You save yourself the cost of a stamp and the bother of writing a check. So it's pretty simple. WPR.org.
And we're looking for another 33 pledges in the next 35 minutes. Help out now at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552. And again, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, today only, you'll be entered in that drawing for a pair of tickets to the sold-out A Prairie Home Companion show when they come to Madison in January. That includes hotel and dinner as well. Pledge now at WVR.org or 888-202-2552.
And just think of the fun you'll have for the rest of the day. If you enter this, you should pledge now. You'll keep thinking all day, did I win? It'll be a very exciting day in your life. Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. And thank you very much, everybody, for all of your pledges. We are talking politics again this hour, and our guest is Tom Bevin. He is co-founder and executive editor of Real Clear Politics, a terrific site if you are looking to feed your political knowledge during this presidential race and all the Senate races as well. It's a great site. Patricia in Madison, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Over the last number of years, we have really praised President Obama's oration skills, but he's always had a teleprompter. So without that teleprompter, he really was fumbling.
You want to respond to that, Tom?
Well, you know, that is one of the things that some people have pointed to. You know, there's been a whole round of sort of speculation and excuse making, quite frankly, on why Obama came out as flat as he did. I mean, Al Gore famously even said it was the altitude that caused him to look sort of drawn and limp. Other people said, yeah, he wasn't in front of a teleprompter. I do think the format helped Mitt Romney quite a bit, in the sense that they were able to engage in sort of a back and forth. And Obama seemed to be, you know, for whatever reason, maybe it was a teleprompter issue that has come to rely on it too much. Maybe not. Other folks said, look, he's, you know, all presidents, they're not used to being challenged that way, and that might have thrown him off his game a little bit. But regardless of the reason, it was a bad performance, the one that again, you know, changed the race, I think, in a significant way.
And, Tom, what about the criticism that has come Romney's way, that the person who showed up that night was quite at odds with the person who had been on the campaign trail, that he became a more moderate figure, and that some commentators really didn't have much of an idea of exactly what his thoughts were about health care, what his thoughts were about Social Security? There has been some of that criticism of Romney, but what do you think about it?
Yeah, there has been some criticism to that effect, sure, and I think I didn't see that as much. Again, I've been following, you know, Romney quite some time, and you know, throughout the entire primary debate, I don't think he was an entirely different person. I mean, he may have, you know, sort of put the best possible patina on his positions to make him, you know, a centrist. But, I mean, interestingly, you didn't hear much, if anything, from conservatives, from Tea Party type,
right,
anyone, that,
right,
that Romney had taken positions that were, you know, abandoned his conservative positions for the center. And in part, that's because it was such an overwhelming victory. And I think, you know, that's winning solves a lot of problems. I mean, it makes people forget a lot of their complaints, and I think that's what happened on last Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Patricia, for your call. Peg in Antigo. Hi, Peg.
Hi. I just wanted to make my comment about how I think a debate does not determine who a leader is. And I'm just amazed we have all this detailed parsing of a debate when you don't hear, you know, for example, how Romney does change. I don't know what the man stands for, to tell you the truth. And to declare a victory, even if Obama had done better, this emphasis on debates rather than substance and rather than investigative reporting is very troubling to me.
Well, that's
There's
interesting.
So little investigative reporting. And I think people would be shocked if they knew more about what Romney really stands for. So that's just my comment.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Tom?
Well, to the caller's point, I mean, for better or worse, this is a system that we have. And we do, you know, we go through this every 4 years. I mean, there were complaints. Republicans this year complained about the fact that they went through – 20 primary debates, and there was so much emphasis on it. And you know, debates, for as much as people say debates don't matter, they do matter. I mean, ask Rick Perry how much debates matter. And in the case with President Obama, look, I do think because they do offer a chance for the candidates to sort of stand on the stage side by side, it clearly provides an advantage to the challenger. I mean, they get to sort of be share a podium, share a stage with the leader of the free world. And for, you know, for 90 minutes, it's, you know, they don't play hail to the chief when the president walks in. It's just two men standing on stage and you know, giving their opinions. Now, one of the things that I think, one of the opportunities that President Obama missed clearly is if he thought that Romney was misrepresenting his positions, you know, it wasn't up to Jim Lehrer, the moderator. I found the criticism of Jim Lehrer to be sort of badly misplaced. It was President Obama's job to you know, point out where he thought Mitt Romney was fudging the record and to correct the record if he thought that's what happened. And he simply didn't do that. And I think that's one of the reasons that his supporters were so disappointed with the performance. They believe that, you know, that Mitt Romney got away with talking about, you know, the $716 billion in Medicare, without rebutting that argument at all. He didn't bring up Romney's 47% remark. He didn't bring up the auto bailout. I mean, he just missed opportunity after opportunity. And as a result, you know, we had a very lopsided situation.
Let's talk about the debate that's coming up this Thursday. One of the articles you feature today is Howard Fineman from Huffington Post, titled "Joe Biden Ready for the Fight of His Life." Where does this figure into the whole amount of information that we get? How will he be able to help the Democrats as a result of his performance? Will a lot of people be watching this?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, these vice presidential debates, I mean, clearly in the grand scheme of things, don't matter. People don't vote for vice president. They vote for people at the top of the ticket, obviously. But yet they seem to generate an enormous amount of interest. 4 years ago, it was Sarah Palin squaring off with Joe Biden. Before that, it was Dick Cheney, against Joe Lieberman and against John Edwards. And so they do, and this one I think won't be as widely watched, obviously, as the presidential debate, but I think certainly the pundit class is going to be tuning in,
of
their seat. And that's where it now matters, because to the point that you mentioned earlier, I mean, President Obama doesn't get to take the stage for another week. And so what they don't want to happen is to have Joe Biden have a similar flat performance where it generates another negative round of negative press coverage saying that, you know, look, oh, well, now after Romney bested Obama, here's, you know, Paul Ryan besting Joe Biden. It's sort of the challengers versus the incumbents. I mean, it's really now up to Biden to at least, you know, if not even the score, to fight Paul Ryan to a draw and to make the points that President Obama failed to make in the first debate. And so I think and Howard Fineman, you know, argues in his piece that Biden's going to be up to the challenge, that he's an experienced debater. He's still got a lot of sort of fire in the belly and relishes these kind of fights, even though he's sort of known, especially on the trail, for committing, occasional gaffe. It's probably more than occasional, the rather frequent gaffe from time to time. But I think he expects Biden to be, you know, come fully prepared.
And I would imagine that he will come fully prepared. It's not as though he hasn't had years and years of being at the top levels of power in Washington, D.C. I wouldn't expect very many gaffes this Thursday on his part.
I think Biden is going to come prepared, and you're right. He's an experienced debater. He's a very good debater, actually. And you know, I think Paul Ryan will come prepared, too. I mean, the difference, Paul Ryan has never debated on this sort of stage before, and conservatives are excited to see him sort of, you know, join the battle and make his case, and you know, they're hoping that he can be effective in doing it against a guy who, to your point, has he's a great debater in 2008. I think he came off very well and in fact won a few of those debates during the 2008 presidential primary.
Yeah. Well, thank you ever so much. I love your site. It's so informative, and it's got just a whole variety of opinion. Thank you so much for being with us, Tom. Have fun Thursday.
You're very welcome.
Have
thank
fun
you.
Tomorrow. Okay. Have fun the whole season. Yeah, goodbye. Tom Bevin, our guest. He is co-founder and executive editor of Real Clear Politics. We also want to remind you, all of you political enthusiasts, that we're doing a live radio broadcast a week from tomorrow, and we're inviting you to come and watch us. You'll have a chance to meet Joy Cardine and her producers. I'll be there. Rhonda and Brett will be there. And we're going to be at a beautiful location in Milwaukee, the Pabst Cudahy Pub. This is both shows from 6 a.m. until 11 a.m. We'll be broadcasting from the Pabst Cudahy Pub, which is on Wells Street, right across from City Hall in downtown Milwaukee. You're invited to come and be a part of our statewide radio broadcast. We're going to talk politics big time for lots and lots of hours. There will be food. It's a free event. No RSVP is required, but we'd love to know that you're coming so we can prepare for you and welcome you with open arms. Learn more and register at WPR.org/Milwaukee. We'd love to see you there. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Rhonda Fanning in our studios in Milwaukee. As a regular listener to this program, you know that you're always going to hear something worthwhile. And today we're asking you to put a value on this program. Your gift is vital to WPR. It's a big part of what keeps us going. Support this program and everything else you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio by making a gift in any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2255.
We're looking for 29 more pledges in the next 24 minutes. Thank you if you've already given this hour. And if you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know that you're intelligent. Our guests say this all the time. They love you. They love your intelligence and your enthusiasm. So we try to aim high. We do our best to bring you in-depth, thought-provoking discussions every day because you appreciate these conversations you get on the Ideas Network. Make a pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you find that WPR is your daily companion. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home or at the office, whether you're concentrating or relaxing.
It's like a good companion. You count on us for accurate news, for great intelligent talk. We're counting on you to be our companion and make a donation. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I love to listen to both the classical music and the Ideas Network stations because it seems to me they're the only ones that are worthwhile to listen to. The Ideas Network gives opposing political views and allows us, the general public, to express our views about current issues. It's important for me to be able to come to my own conclusions about issues. This is one way that I can do that.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Rhonda Fanning, and we're asking for you to support the WPR programs that you count on. Thank you in advance for your gift, $50, $100, $500, whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You care about state, regional, and world events at WPR. And on this program, you get all of that information and also some commentary and suggested reading. You get news and information and also programs that clear your mind and entertain you. Support all of the programs you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you pledge any amount today, you'll be entered in a drawing for a pair of tickets to the sold-out performance of A Prairie Home Companion at the Overture Center in Madison in January. It includes dinner and a hotel. Find out the details and make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustainer. Being a sustainer means that your gift, be it $5 a month, $100 a month, or anything in between, automatically renews every year.
Being a sustainer means no more renewal notices in the mail, and it also helps Wisconsin Public Radio save money, which makes your contribution go even further. To encourage you to become a sustainer, we have added a new benefit. Sustainers will automatically be entered in all of our drawings and sweepstakes. So make the switch, become and make a difference, and become a person who contributes. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you already renew by mail or make ongoing monthly transfers from your bank account, thank you. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR. If you haven't given yet, join thousands of other wonderful WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 27 more pledges in the next 13 minutes. So help out now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Just remember, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, and it's only today, so do it now, you will be entered in a drawing for a pair of tickets to a Prairie Home Companion when they do a show in Madison this coming January, including hotel and dinner.
When you go online to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge, consider becoming a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews each year, and it breaks your pledge into affordable monthly installments. It's easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact.
And thank you all so much for your contributions. Again, our pledge website is WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Greg Borowski is with us now on the Ideas Network, senior editor for projects and investigations at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and editor of the newspaper's PolitiFact Wisconsin site. We welcome phone calls for Greg. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, for you to join our on-air conversation. Greg, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning.
What's your mission?
Well, our mission is to help voters as they make decisions, whether it's about their lives or about who they're going to vote for, by sort of sifting through all the rhetoric and the claims and charges and countercharges that they're hearing on TV ads or in debates or in the literature that winds up at their doorstep. And our mission is to do that in a thoughtful, unbiased, balanced way. And that's, you know, what we hope we're doing.
You have to sift through a whole lot, don't you, Greg?
There's usually no shortage of
right.
Things. It's sort of what you would call a target-rich environment because there's so many things that you could be looking into at a given time.
Right. And where do you find the most truth, and where do you find the most untruth?
Well, that's a little hard to describe because we don't try to approach it and say, okay, we need to do a true item today or we need to do a false item today. We try to start with a statement, a claim, something that people are talking about, they're wondering about. Our rule of thumb is that the claim should be something that makes you stop and say, I wonder if that's true. And then we go about, you know, trying to evaluate it through independent sources where we can and going to the person who made the claim and asking for their backup and going through a pretty rigorous process. I would say that, I mean, generally speaking, at the times of the most things are at stake, so in the very run-up to an election, in the midst of the uproar in Madison last year, that people seem to be more prone to making statements that do stretch the truth. So I think if you did an analysis, you would see that as we got closer to elections, particularly candidates that are behind them, you might see, you know, more things on the lower end of the scale in terms of our ratings, but I've never really gone back and looked that way.
And in terms of the sources, are you finding that you need to investigate more television ads or statements by candidates, or is it about equal?
Yeah, I think television ads, we tend to do a little bit more of those, I think, because, you know, people see them so often. We do, though, look for and welcome suggestions and tips from readers of the literature they get, the robocalls they get at home. Oftentimes there's a whole campaign that's kind of under the radar screen of this micro-targeting that the campaigns do with a real direct message, and those are the ones that we don't as readily see but are just as interested in those claims that come up as well.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the fact, and I think this is so true, that you reach a point where everything is fast and furious and we're counting down the days, And it's all you can do, I'm sure, in your job to keep up with all of the things that are flying right and left, because people tend to get a little bit worried that they might lose.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of statements out there, but we've found, too, that that's when our readership is highest, that people start to tune in even more. So we do a lot of roundups and things of past rulings and ratings, things that they may have missed if it was looked at, say, a month ago or 6 weeks ago. But our readership goes up as the interest in politics goes up. So we feel like we're filling a good void for the readers in the Milwaukee and Wisconsin area to really take on the statements being made by and about officials from here.
And when does the interest go up? Is it now? I mean, it's hard. I say this all the time, but you've been interested. Our audience has been interested in all of this for a year now, it seems. A lot of people are just tuning in.
Yeah, I mean, we saw, for instance, on when the conventions were going on that ratings, our hits and things went higher. I think if you look after debates and things like that, there's sort of this natural interest because people, we think, recognize us now as a spot to turn to get this information. So if you're watching a debate or the next morning you look at it and say, boy, I wonder if that statement was true.
Right.
Or just what's behind it, the level of interest seems to track pretty well what's happening in the political world.
When did this whole business of fact-checking start, and why?
Well, it's really started, I think, 4 years ago. Now we're only just over 2 years old at PolitiFact Wisconsin, but in the presidential cycle 4 years ago, you saw the start of PolitiFact. I believe that's around when the Washington Post began their fact-checking, and factcheck.org began perhaps a little bit before that. But I think in this election, it's really come of age, and you can sort of see that really in how much the campaigns are paying attention to it, how much pushback they'll give if they don't agree with an assessment, how quickly they'll turn to you when it favors them to say, oh, hey, look, PolitiFact rated this false.
Yes.
You'll see that in TV ads. So I think we've gotten a whole lot more attention in this cycle because people are more accustomed to it. Voters are more likely to turn to fact checkers, so it's become something that campaigns have to account for in their planning.
Let's go to some phone calls for you. Greg Borowski is our guest. Greg is senior editor for projects and investigations at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and editor of the newspaper's PolitiFact Wisconsin site. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Al in Land O'Lakes. Hi, Al.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, Al, how are you?
Pretty good. Once again, I have to tell you, I try to catch your show every day because it gives me hope for our species.
Wow. Thanks, Al.
You know, because I believe I'm getting the truth and about facts, I'm wondering why certain facts are withheld. And I have two big ones that are bothering me in our recent recall election where our governor claimed he paid off the deficit and solved the deficit. Here's a fact. I heard on your show, they refinanced it. They did an interest swap, and the deficit actually went up 2%. And I was wondering why they didn't bring that up. And then with our president, who I love, I'm going to vote for, why wouldn't they bring up the fact that Wall Street ruined the entire world economy with financial products of $700 trillion floating around the world? And the whole world's trying to come back from that, you know, and it was all these derivative type of things, which simply means derived from anything. So they were unregulated, and now they want to go back to that, you know. And these are facts which haven't come out yet, and I'm wondering why.
Thanks, Al, for the call. Greg?
Well, thanks for the interest. I guess I'll just make a couple observations. One, we just deal strictly with statements that make a factual assertion. So if we can't really evaluate a claim that, you know, Wall Street is terrible or Wall Street is great, or that my plan is the best ever. We can get into the specifics of, you know, when there's numerical claims or specific things. If someone says, you know, my tax cuts created this many jobs, well, now we're in the territory that we can really work in. The first example your caller gave is a good one, I think, in terms of why our scale at PolitiFact isn't just a binary true or false, because a lot of claims, there's gradations of it, and we go all the way down to, you know, pants on fire to true, and have four different levels in between there. But there's a lot of statements that, okay, if a person says that the budget was balanced, you can look at that and say the budget is balanced. If the statement doesn't deal with how it was financed, and if it was financed appropriately, we can sort of reference that in there, and that might knock it down the scale a little bit. But when you deal with a factual statement that it is balanced, and if the neutral scorekeepers, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, looks at it and says, yes, the budget is balanced, you know, we can explain all that, and I think that's a lot of the value for our readers, is not just in that rating at the very end, but to look at the analysis we went through to get there, to click on some of the links to the studies and the reports that are being talked about. And I think that is what helps, you know, illuminate the issue for voters.
And thanks for the call. Let's go to Bob in Kenosha. Hi, Bob.
Hi, this is State Senator Bob Wirtz from Kenosha. And I had a recall campaign last year, and I was successful in winning that election. But during the election, I felt that the fact-checkers didn't treat me right. There was an issue that came up on economic development, and we had a company called Uline that came into Kenosha, and I made the statement that I was felt I was instrumental in bringing them into Kenosha. Well, the owners said, no, that's not true, that I had not been involved. Now, my concern was that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel never contacted me to get my side of the story. In fact, the reason I said that was because this company wanted a tax break, a TIF tax break, and I sponsored it through the state Senate, got it through, so that's why I made the statement. But they never called me and never asked my side of the story. They just printed that what I said was false.
All right, Greg?
Well, thanks for the comment. First, our policy is to always start by reaching out to the person making the statement, and I don't recall specifically the circumstances of this one, but we would have certainly reached out to the senator, or more likely to his campaign, if it was a statement made in the context of a campaign ad or flyer. On this particular case, when someone makes a claim of responsibility for something, whether it's saying that President Obama is responsible for this $16 billion deficit, or someone says, well, I personally am responsible for doing this, we have to really evaluate it by what other factors are there out there. So a person may have played a role. But I think the way we rated the claim that the senator is talking about is very consistent with how we've rated other ones, where we say there's things that a person can't control. You know, larger, you know, functions and changes in the economy aren't as under the direct control of the president as a particular policy. So we've been, I think, very consistent in how we've approached these items.
Greg, thank you very much. Have a great time the next 29 days, 28 days.
But who's counting, right?
Yeah, right. Thanks, Greg. Greg Borowski, Senior Editor for Projects and Investigations at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's editor of the newspaper's PolitiFact Wisconsin site. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Rhonda Fanning, and we are, as you know, in our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You count on us for, let's face it, political talk right now, and we do it. Think of all the debates and the election night coverage and all the times that we've talked to you about all these important issues. Make a gift of any amount right now. Help us pay for the programs that you depend on. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Where are we, Rhonda?
Well, we still need 18 pledges in the next few minutes. So if you haven't, thanks to everyone who has have already pledged this hour. If you haven't yet, please go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help make the programs you cannot count on continue. And again, another reminder that today and today only, a pledge of any amount is entered into a drawing for a pair of tickets to the sold-out Prairie Home Companion Show at the Overture Center in Madison on January 26th. The winner will also get, very important to note, hotel and dinner, all within walking distance to the performance. You don't have to pledge to enter, but we hope you will. No contribution is necessary. You can also mail a postcard to WPR Prairie Home Drawing, 821 University Ave, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
And we're looking at 17. We're getting close to the end of this hour. We need 17 callers to reach our goal. For all of you who listen to all of our political coverage, we really pride ourselves on doing a very thorough job, hearing all kinds of points of view, and I think that it's civic education all the time here, and important education. If that's important to you, please pledge, and here's how you do it, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And only 17 more pledges to keep us on
right.
track towards our goal this hour. So pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It takes a few minutes of your time, and you get so much back, and you'll feel great as well. Consider a donation of $100 a month. Can you do that? $60? Whatever you can do. It's all right. Thank you for it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can continue pledging through the news. And again, you'll be entered into that drawing for the sold-out tickets of a Prairie Home Companion when they come to Madison in January. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks to everyone who has pledged already today.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers who produced this program. And thanks, everybody, for being such an engaged audience. I just want to remind you that tomorrow Salman Rushdie is with us. It's an important hour. It's quite a book. It's his memoir. And he will be with us the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Good luck.